hear elevated conversation on crucial issues. Boyd Matheson on Inside Sources.
Welcome back to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. Great to be with you today. As always, I am Boyd Matheson. And as we continue the conversation, you know, often when we're debating a transition to energy that is cleaner and greener and alternative away from fossil fuels, that's an important conversation to be having. And we need to make sure that when we do that, we have to incorporate everything into the conversation, including something that rarely gets included, national security. And so often we say, well, now, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. You know, we're talking about clean and green and preserving the environment and being careful stewards of the land. Yes, yes, yes. And there's a national security component to it. Jay Evenson, of course, is the opinion editor at Deseret News and has a great piece on this very topic and how they actually are connected. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
All right. So give us some sense in terms of that connective tissue between our trying to get away from fossil fuels. And again, I think everybody's all for being good stewards of the environment. Let's leave this place better than we found it. But give us the link as it relates to that energy transition and national security interests.
Well, I spoke with a man named David Gaddy, who's a professor of engineering at the University of Georgia. I actually heard him speak at the One Utah Summit a few weeks back. And so I called him a couple of days later and kind of picked his mind on this. He wants, first of all, everyone to know that he's not a climate denier. He believes in renewable energy, but this is something that he always gets accused of being. But he brings up the point that fossil fuels has always been just integrated into our economy and what we do, and that if you take China and Russia, for example, their industries will serve their state geopolitical interests. And in this country, our industries, well, we do economic development. That's what we do. And it trickles down, grows up into a broader industrial base, brings money into the state and local governments where they are. But our country stands on those industries. And because of that, we become strong and diverse and wide and deep and complex and flexible and resilient. And that's our advantage in the country. So, if, for example, Pearl Harbor gets attacked, we can mobilize our industrial base. All of a sudden, instead of making cars, Detroit is making airplanes and munitions and that type of thing. And so his concern is that the Biden administration is pushing an immediate, a very quick transformation of our entire economy to renewable energy. And he doesn't know how that's going to translate when it comes to national security, when it comes to mobilizing that base. That's the first issue. The second issue is that we've become, through the years, exporters of energy, and particularly when it comes to nuclear energy. And we've retreated back from that. And so other countries are looking for energy partners, and we're telling them, well, we're not going to finance your fossil fuel projects. So where are they going? Well, they're going to China, which is doing a lot of this kind of work with other countries. So he raises a lot of very interesting questions.
Yeah, and so let's dive into a couple of those questions that I think are really relevant. Obviously, with Russia, their attack into Ukraine, their persistent belief that they're going to reclaim that as part of the motherland, and then who knows where they go from there if they're able to be successful there. China continues to point and rattle the sabers that they'll reintegrate Taiwan. And so as we look at that with those, then, of course, you could add Iran into that, and that's a whole other ball of wax. But they're all very focused on just using the fossil fuels that they've got. That really drives their war machines and their expansionist approach to it. So talk us through, Jay, what you learned in terms of how could that impact us if suddenly we're in this transition period? I can't even imagine how you'd transition all those planes and tanks and all of those things to renewables that quickly at a time when many of our adversaries are ramping up and rattling sabers in a lot of places around the world.
And it's not just a matter of using fossil fuels for our military, but how our military integrates with the private sector. And going back to what happened after Pearl Harbor,
right.
how do we mobilize our economy to fight a war with renewables? And beyond that, we have to realize that China holds a lot of the world's capacity for batteries, for cobalt and lithium and some of the rare earths that we need for renewable energy. So our supply chains go right through a country that we're not in the best of relations with, and that could be a real national security problem for us going into the future. So it's a complex problem, but we want to be careful that we have the independence in order to be able to fight if we have to. Heaven forbid that we do, but if, for example, China takes over Taiwan, that puts our supply chains at risk and threatens us in a number of different ways if we want to try to respond.
Yeah, and you mentioned that in your piece at Deseret.com, that China holds about 60% of the world's capacity for things like batteries and a lot of those rare earth elements, which, again, if they decided to cut off the spigot there, I don't think we're anywhere near a place where we could deal with much of any of that.
Right, and we have to think about that if we're going to transition our economy that way. One other interesting thing that he brought up to me is that nobody is really thinking critically about this issue. And he talked, you know, Eisenhower talked about the military-industrial complex. Well, Professor Gaddy talks about the military-industrial-academic complex.
Mm.
And he says, you know, you have to realize that grant funding is really vital to career success if you're a professor. Much of that comes from the federal government. And so with the federal government backing this change to decarbonization, there's no incentive there for professors to want to challenge this policy, particularly if they want tenure and if they want to receive research funding. And so it becomes kind of an echo chamber with few people being really critical of these policies. He joked with me that he no longer has a key to the faculty lounge in Georgia, but it really is difficult for him to get published. I mean, nobody's interested in hearing that we need to hang on to fossil fuels.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. You also pointed out, just real quick as we close out, Jay, you also connected the dots all the way here to Utah, which, of course, we have a lot of resources, a lot of natural resources here in the state of Utah. What's it going to take to make sure places like Utah continue to have a place in this conversation?
Well, Professor Gaddy really believes that this is a problem that states have to solve. And he looks to the National Governors Association and similar groups to form a coalition of states that recognize what's going on and that can actually develop a strategy moving forward. I like the sound of that. I believe in states as the is the place where we can experiment and find solutions. Also, we have real interest in this because of our local economies and how tied we are to fossil fuel generation and sales and that type of a thing.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of truth to that. It's a question of how do you do that if you have an administration that doesn't want to hear that point of view.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. And you pointed this out as you closed out your piece that if nothing else, these are the kinds of questions we have to be asking as we go down some of these roads. Sometimes it's the very nice sounding policy statement. It's the bumper sticker. It's a campaign ad. But it's the downstream impact, and I think all of that in terms of having that and conversation of stewardship of the environment, clean and green energy transition, all of that is great, and we better make sure we're dotting the I's and crosses the T's when it comes to national defense and national security as well. Jay Evenson, as always, thanks for your perspective. Great stuff. We'll have you back again real soon.
Great.
All right, that's Jay Evenson, opinion editor at the Deseret News. Great information and insight as always. And it's that and conversation that we've got to get to in all of this, that we can move to cleaner and greener and careful stewardship of the environment, and we can keep our national security strong. We just have to have a different kind of conversation. We'll be right back.